You'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 5. Genesis, chapter 5. It's been a long while since we've been in the book of Genesis. Genesis, chapter 5, this morning. And we're going to read, just one verse, verse 28. Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. Lamech lived 182 years and then he had a son. And of course, we know, as the next verse says, his name was Noah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy word. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together. And Lord, thank you for your word that speaks the truth to us of all things. For thou art truth, and thy word is true. Your word abides to all generations, even to us right here, this time right now. And so, Lord, we pray that we would receive your word with meekness, with gladness, with hearts that are open to hear the very word of God. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we look at Genesis chapter 5, we know that in Genesis chapter 4, there's generations that are going in the wrong direction from God. In Genesis chapter 5, we see there's a generation that begins to call upon the name of the Lord and turn back to the Lord and walk with God. But in Genesis chapter 6, God says he's not always going to strive with man. Verse number 3 of Genesis chapter 6. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. And the Lord is saying, God is saying that the wickedness of man is getting worse and worse, and eventually he is going to tell Noah that he is going to destroy the earth. But the title of the message this morning is, As the World Gets Worse. Not a very happy title, is it? As the world gets worse. It would be years later that the Lord Jesus Christ himself would walk upon the face of the earth, and the world was getting worse. In fact, it was getting to the point where they were about to take the very Son of God and nail him to a cross. The world was getting worse. And yet there was one day when Jesus Christ walked upon the face of the earth that as the world was getting worse, he stood upon a hillside, a mountainside, and he was teaching the people. And a multitude gathered around. And as it came to the close of the day, he looked around, and the Bible says he had compassion on these people, this multitude. He said to the disciples, he says, we ought to feed these folks. We ought to help them out. They need food, and we should provide food for them and help them out. And the disciples says, how can we do that? There's over 5,000 people here. How can we do that? And in Mark chapter 6, or in John chapter 6, excuse me, John chapter 6 and verse number 9, the disciples said just a simple statement. They said, there's a lad here. Not a man, not an adult, not a senior citizen. There's a lad, a child, a little child, a little boy, a young boy. There's a lad here. And he's got a few fish and a few loaves of bread, and they said, but what is all of this? And the Lord says, I'll reveal to you. I'll show you what it is. And the Lord took what that lad had, what that child had, and did a miracle and fed that multitude. And throughout the Bible, there's something unique that we see that ought to give us hope for 2021 and beyond. Not fear, but hope. Because throughout the scriptures, as you look through the history, the world continually gets worse, and yet as the world gets worse, there's always a young person that God raises up in the midst of an ungodly world to give hope. A young person, we usually think of adults and even senior citizens, but a young person. Genesis, it was Joseph. Israel would be facing a famine. God would use a young boy named Joseph. Oh, it would be a tough road for him, but God would use him eventually to deliver Israel from a famine. We can look beyond. We can look at Samuel. Samuel, the prophet of God. But when did God raise him up? When he's just a little child. And he said, "Here am I, Lord." We can look at David. Oh, David was a great king, but it wasn't a great king that fought that lion and that bear and that giant. It was a young man. We can go on and on through the scripture. We can look at Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and Daniel. All the way through the Bible, we see that as the world gets worse, and the world is getting worse, and the world will get worse, there's hope because of the young people of Lakes Palm Baptist Church. There's hope because the people, the young people, the little kids, the boys and girls, and the teens that are sitting in the seats in Lakes Palm Baptist Church today. That's the hope for the world in the next generation, is the youth that are sitting right here. But how does it come to be that God can use a Joseph or Daniel or Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, or even a lad with a few loaves and a few fish? Well, that's what I want us to see in the life of Noah this morning. And I want us to see three important truths, three important lessons from the life of Noah this morning. And let's see, I have an hour and 15 minutes left. Only kidding. But I want us to see three important truths this morning that may be an encouragement to us, ought to be a challenge to us, all of us, and give us hope instead of fear for the years ahead. Because a lot of times when we look at the future and we see the world getting worse and we think of our young people, we say, oh, what's it going to be like for them? Well, in the reality of the Bible, it's going to be the same as it was for us. Oh yeah, the circumstances will change. But God never changes, and His Word never changes, and Jesus never changes, and the hope and faith that we have never changes. But you know, there's some important things in Genesis chapter 5 and 6 that we need to see this morning. Because you see, point number one is this. As the world grew worse, and my points are kind of dual sentences this morning, so as the world got worse, Noah was born. But here's what I want us to see as we look at the birth and the life of Noah that is so important. It's not just enough that Noah was born, but there was something of vital importance in the life of Noah. It was the influence of godly fellowship. The influence of godly fellowship. And I want us to see this in Genesis chapter 5 this morning. I want us to see this in Genesis chapter 5 because as we read through Genesis chapter 5, there's a line of genealogy that goes forth. And John, if you could put that slide up for a moment. I want to see this because when you look at Genesis chapter 5, it starts with, this is the book of the generation of Adam. And it goes from Adam all the way down to Noah. But there's something we miss a lot of times, and what we miss is to see the connection that influenced the life of Noah. You see, when you look at that slide, and it didn't come through. You know, these young preachers that are so technologically advanced work on these slides and they come out perfect. It still didn't come through, John. Because there's supposed to be a line going right down the middle. You see Adam at the top? Well, if you look from the end of Adam's life and you drew a line straight down, you would see that all of these people, apart from Noah, lived and had a segment of time where they all lived together. I want you to stop and consider the fellowship, the godly fellowship that existed that influenced the life of Noah. When we come down to verse number 28, Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. Let's just stop and think about what Lamech was able to personally testify to his son about the people that went on before him. For 56 years in the life of Lamech, he knew Adam personally. Just stop and think how a young boy as Noah could grow up and he could go to his dad and he said, "Dad, tell me again. Tell me again." You can get rid of that, John. I'm done with that. It didn't work anyways. But just think for a minute. As a dad would sit down and firsthand, or secondhand actually, tell the testimony of Adam, who lived in the Garden of Eden and walked with God. Think of that. And not only could Noah hear it from Adam, or for Lamech, but he could hear it from Enos and Canaan, Methuselah and Enoch, and on down the line. Noah could go this day to this man and say, "Tell me again about what it was like. What did you hear Adam say? Tell me about how the Lord clothed him with coats of skin. Tell me about the precious time of fellowship that Adam had walking with the Lord in the garden. Tell me again about it." The importance of godly fellowship, or the influence of godly fellowship. Folks, this is why it is so important that young people grow up with godly fellowship in church. This is why it's so important for us as adults to take time to be with the young people of Lakes Palm Baptist Church. Because you might wonder, how is it that Daniel, and how is it that Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, how is it that these other people, these other young people grew up and were used of God? I submit to you this morning, one of the reasons was because of the godly influence of godly fellowship in their lives. The world is seeking to influence young people. And the young people today need the godly influence, or the influence of godly people in their lives. Noah, firsthand heard, second hand, or whatever hand, I don't know, left hand, right hand, but he heard personally about Adam. But then you look, go to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26. "And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." You know, two things I want us to notice about the influence of godly people in Noah's life is that these people in Genesis chapter 5 began to worship God. I wonder what it was like for Noah as he sat down with Enos. Because he lived in his day. He spent time with Enos. Enos was one of those men that would have had an influence on Noah's life. And I wonder what it was like for Noah. I sat down this week and I really stopped to think, what was it like for Noah to sit down with Enos and say, Enos, tell me what it was like. Tell me what it was like as the world got worse and then all of a sudden men really began to call upon the name of the Lord. What was it like, Enos? What was it like when revival came to the world in those days and men began to worship God? Oh, I bet if Enos began to tell Noah what it was like when men began to call upon the name of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir the fires within the hearts of men, Noah would sit there and listen. Say, what was it like? Oh, there was one man that Noah didn't get to live with and live in the time. That was Enoch. But his dad did. For 113 years, Lamech walked or lived in the day of Enoch. Dad, tell me. Tell me, Dad. Tell me more about this man, Enoch. What was he like? What was he like? Tell me about him, Dad. What was this man like that the Bible says he walked with God? He walked with God. God took him. What was it like, Dad? Dad, you were 113 years old when all of a sudden Enoch is gone because he walked with God. Lamech would sit down and tell his son, Noah, all I can tell you is he walked with God. He had this testimony that by faith, all he wanted to do was please God. All he wanted to do was please God. You imagine a young boy sitting there at the feet of his dad. We're going up to one of the other men, Methuselah. Enos and say, please tell me again. Tell me what Adam told you about the garden. Tell me what Adam told you about the forgiveness of the Lord and how he killed those animals and clothed us. Tell me again about what it was like when men began to really worship the Lord. Tell me again what it was like to know a man that walked with God. That not only walked with God, not only pleased God, but preached and prophesied, like it says in Jude, of the judgment of God that was coming. That the Lord would come with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon the ungodly of all of their ungodly things, deeds, and all their ungodly words which they spoke against the Lord. Tell me again. Folks, do you see how important the influence of godly men is in the life of young people? That puts a responsibility on us not only to be a godly influence, but to tell these young people in our midst of the godly people that have gone on before us. I wish every young person in this room could have known Harold Hayes. Oh, I wish you young people could have met Harold Hayes. Oh, he was a craftsman. The furniture he built was unbelievable. But more than that, he was a godly man. Danny, if you could have heard, did you ever hear Harold Hayes? Never heard him play the organ? Boy, son, you missed it. When he played that organ, I tell you what, your heart was lifted up to the heights of heaven, wasn't it? Because when he played that organ and he played those great hymns of the faith, you knew it came from his heart as he just praised the Lord. I remember one time, Jack and I, Malerber, we went over to practice a duet that we were going to sing, and we were singing along, and Harold stopped us. And Harold was a very quiet man. But he stopped us, and he says, "No, you got to sing." I said, "What do you mean we got to sing?" Now, I knew this as a young person. I knew this as a trumpet player, but Harold says, "You got to sing the words from your heart that the song is speaking about." He says, "You got to pause in wonder at that phrase right there. You get excited about that right there." He says, "You got to sing. Don't just sing words. Sing the message." Harold Hayes was a man that he walked with God, folks. Man, we read of evangelists. One of the evangelists that we historically read about is Gypsy Smith. Harold knew him personally. Knew his brother. They used to vacation over here in Groton. You read books by men like, can't remember his name now. But Harold heard these men personally. Harold was a man that, as a young man, loved his music, but loved his Lord God more. And there were summers that Harold would go with a group of men, three or four men, and they would just pack up. I don't know what they would drive, but they would pack up and they would travel through New England, and they would find, and here's what men lived and walked with God and did things for God. They didn't need all the stuff that we have today. But Harold Hayes used to go with a group of men, three or four men, and they would take a summer, leave their jobs, leave their work. They take a summer. I don't know what they got for a vehicle. Who knows? Probably just an old car. And they would go up to Maine. And they would find an abandoned church. They would find a church that was closed down. And they would poke around and they'd nose around and they'd find out who owned the property or who the church belonged to. And they would say, "Hey, can we clean it up? Can we do something?" These three or four men would go to a church that was all shut down and overgrown. And they would take a week and they'd open that church and they'd clean it up. And then they'd start having services and preach and sing. I don't know how many churches Harold Hayes was a part of getting restarted again. But I tell you what, I'm thankful to have met and known Harold Hayes. Oh, and others, many others. Mr. Gardner. Remember Mr. Gardner? We always called him Mr. Gardner. Another man that knew God close. I remember the time that Mr. Gardner was invited to teach Sunday school. Well, I think it was only once, and I'll never forget it. I sat there as a young man, and I sat there, and Mr. Gardner stood right there. And turn in your Bible to Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, you might know Psalm 23. but I know the shepherd. I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget as Mr. Gardner was sick with cancer. And I would go over in his bedroom as he lay in that bed. Pastor Hunt would send me over and say, go spend some time with Mr. Gardner. And I know there was a reason why Pastor Hunt would send me over there. Because when Mr. Gardner prayed, you felt the presence of God. You wanted to open your eyes and see God in that room because that's how close that man was with God. And this is what these young people need. They need godly influence. And they need to be told of the ones that went before, of this church. Noah. World got worse. And Noah was born. Praise God that there was an influence of godly fellowship in his life. Hearing about Adam and Eve. Hearing from Enos what it was like when men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Hearing of what it was like to know a man that walked with God, that feared God, that God took home to be with him, that preached the righteous judgment of God. Oh, by God's grace, maybe it'll be that these young people look back 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Might it be that these young people that are sitting here this morning might one day be able to tell their children, I remember in 2021 when the people of Lakes Palm Baptist Church began to really worship God and walk with God. Oh, that that would be the testimony that they would be able to tell their children and their grandchildren. Oh, there was a year, it was a rough year that church went through between the pandemic and the politics and everything else. It was disrupting society and the world was getting worse. But I grew up in a church that really began to worship God and walk with God. Because if we want these young people to have an impact on the next generation, then we bear a responsibility to have an influence of godliness in their lives. And so the world got worse. The world is getting worse. And yet Noah was born. And the world is getting worse, and there's still babies being born. Right, Monica? Glad I got that right. And the influence of godly fellowship is so important. Listen, folks, don't skip Wednesday nights. There's a few things I can recount about my folks that were just unchanging. Unchanging. One of them was the Word of God. I got my dad's Bible in my office, and there's not a Bible more marked up than my dad's. You can't read it because there's so many notes. Prayer and being in God's house. It was only one day that I remember in my life, growing up in my home, that we missed church. And the sad thing about it was because of the rebellion of the heart of a son that Dad had to deal with on a Sunday morning. But these young people, these kids right here, they need to be in church every time the doors open with their parents and with the rest of us. So there's a godly influence. Because you see, that's what affected Noah's life, Joseph's life, Daniel's life, Hananiah's life, Mishael, Ezra. On it goes. There was an influence. And our young people need our influence. Because if not, they're going to be dragged away by the world. And so number one, yeah, the world was getting worse, but praise God, Noah was born. And there was the influence of godly fellowship. And you know what that led to? Number two, as the world got worse, simply, Noah believed. And here we see the importance of godly faith. Noah believed. Sometimes we underestimate the faith of young people. Sometimes we minimize the faith and the belief of young people. Hey, let me just give you a word of encouragement. It might surprise some of you. You know, these young people can pray and God hears and answers. You know, there's a lot of things that in this world you have to be a certain age, you have to be a certain height. You go to the fairground and you gotta reach a certain height before you go on that ride. I remember the day that Larry and I took Crystal. She wasn't tall enough to get on that ride, and we said, just stretch up. So she did, and she barely eked over the line. And then for the next 3 years, as we rode on that ride in fear, Larry and I had her by the shoulder, holding her down the seat because we were afraid she was going to fly out because she was too short. And I realized what that height line was for. It was a real reason. There's a real reason for that, because if you're below that line, that seatbelt might not hold you. You might go flying out. Can't drive until you're, 16, 17, whatever it is. There's all these age limits. Thank God that there's no limitations put on the faith of a young person. That they can pray, they can believe God, they can trust God, they can witness for God, they can be used of God. And as Noah grew up, go to Genesis chapter 6. Noah believed, and here we see the importance of a godly faith. Look at verse number 8. We know these verses. You've heard these verses. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The rest of the world is wicked. God says, I'm going to destroy it. And yet Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the hope for our young people. That as the world grows worse, as the world goes further and further and further away from the Lord, as the Bible says it will, that these young people right here, struggling to stay awake right now, will find grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know what's amazing is, as you look, you can see the manner of life that Noah lived. Verse number 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah is a just man, perfect in his generations. And we've looked at those before. But then it says, Noah walked with God. You get the connection? Remember that godly influence? That godly influence Noah walked with God.
Noah pleased God. Hey, young people, listen to me. Every young person, look up here.
You know what it means to walk with God? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Just please God. It's so simple. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 5, he had this testimony. He pleased God. He just wake up in the morning, you say, I'm just going to try and please the Lord. I'm going to please him more than anything and walk with God. But you know, it goes back to this, the manner of life that Noah had. He walked with God. By faith, he walked by God. In fact, he is the next person mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 after Enoch. But where did he, I got to go back to this. Where did he hear about walking with God? I know, he must have heard from all those people what Adam said about what it was like to walk with a garden in the garden with the Lord Jesus Christ in the cool of the day. He must have heard the testimony of Adam before he sinned, and the joy and the delight and the peace and the wonder of walking with Jesus Christ. Oh, that our young people would grow up living that song that we sing in the garden. And he walks with me, and he talks with me. But Noah walked with God. That was his manner of his life. And because he walked with God, he was open and receptive and heard the message that God had for him. Oh, God had a message for the world. Judgment was coming. But God had a message specifically for Noah in Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse number 13. God said unto Noah. And we know the rest of the message about the judgment, about building an ark, but God had a message for Noah. And as our young people grow up, oh, that the manner of their life would be believing God, trusting God, pleasing God, walking with God, so that they themselves personally hear what the Lord says to them. What the Lord says to them. The Bible says we're to receive with meekness the engrafted word. But oh, it's a wonderful thing when you open up the scriptures and all of a sudden the Lord speaks to you personally. Reminded of Paul in Acts chapter 27, verse number 25, whereas once again the world is getting worse, and they're taking the beloved Apostle Paul on a ship to transport him in chains to be tried, and all of a sudden a storm comes up, and the Lord speaks to Paul and gives him a message of hope and says, it's going to be okay, Paul. You can imagine Paul's first thought. All hope has perished. Haven't seen the sun in days. Tried everything. But the Lord said, you're going to live. You're going to testify unto me. And Paul stands up. And he says this, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. That ought to be the phrase that we speak in 2021. be of good cheer. Why? Because I believe God that it shall be as he told me. That ought to be the heart cry. That ought to be the word that is heard from Lakes Palm Baptist Church as we go through this next year. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. For nothing else apart from this, I believe God that it shall be as he has told me. You see, when you live by faith and trust the Lord, you walk with God, and the manner of your life is godliness, you'll receive the word of God. You'll believe the word of God. And you'll say, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I mean, you just stop and think. Enoch is preaching the righteous judgment of God. Behold, the Lord cometh with 1,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon the ungodly and all these ungodly people that with all godly manner have committed ungodly deeds and said ungodly things. And how many times can you say ungodly in one verse? And judgment is coming. And what does Lamech say? Yeah, but I've got a son that's born. And there's some promise in this. He's going to be able to comfort us in this labor and this toil because of how God has cursed the ground. And you see, when you go through life, young people, trusting God, believing God, you can read his word. And you can say, you know, as the world gets worse, this right here is still true, still good, still works. And I can be of good cheer because I got this book right here in my hand. So number two, as the world got worse, not only was Noah born, not only did we see the importance or the influence of godly fellowship, but as the world got worse, Noah believed God. We see the importance of godly faith. And oh, that 2021 would be a year where the godly faith of Lakes Palm Baptist Church grows stronger and stronger and purer and purer. But there's one more thing that comes as a result of this. Because as the world got worse, Noah was not only born, Noah not only believed, but Noah built an ark. Noah obeyed God. Look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 22. And you see this in the lives of these young people as they are faced with challenging circumstances. Look what it says. It simply says this. How simple is this? Noah has walked with God. Noah has believed God. God has spoken to Noah. And in verse number 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And here we see the impact of godly fear. Noah lived by faith. But when Noah received the message of the Lord, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 that Noah was warned of God. And he had a godly fear. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment. In Hebrews chapter 11. Because along with our godly faith, along with the godly fellowship, and along with a godly faith, there must be, a godly fear. And by that I mean, there must be a fear, an awesome fear, of the truth that what God says is exactly what's going to happen. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says this. Verse number seven. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He had godly fellowship. He had godly faith. But he also had godly fear. Moved with fear. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And Noah built, and here we see the impact of godly fear, that Noah, as he lived his life, as he had fellowship with godly people, as he had a godly faith, he lived in godly fear, and that moved Noah to be a person that was concerned with preparing in the sight of God, through the Word of God, for the days that were ahead. He prepared. The Bible says he moved with fear, warned of God. You know the Bible says we are to be preparing? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 28 that we are to be looking for the Lord to be coming again. And we are to be abiding in Christ for this reason, so that when Jesus Christ comes again, we will have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. The Bible says we need to prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Too many times we just look for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. We long for the Lord Jesus Christ. We say that we love the Lord Jesus Christ to come. But are we preparing? And the way you prepare for the Lord Jesus Christ to come again is by abiding in Christ. Abide in Him. Walk with Him. Follow Him. Believe Him. Stay close to Him. Learn of Him. Live with Him. Abide in Him. Preparing for the Lord to come again. But as Noah prepared, Noah did something else. Noah did not just look at his own life. Noah did not just look at his own family and say, you know, the Lord said to build an ark, so I need to build an ark. And Noah prepared. But Noah didn't ignore the world around him. Because the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, that he preached righteousness to the rest of the world. He preached righteousness to the rest of this world. For all those years that Noah built this ark, all those years, Noah had a godly fear. He says, I need to prepare for my family. I need to walk with God and obey God and build a ark for the sake of my family. And he prepared. But he also preached righteousness because he knew the message of Enoch, the judgment of God. What does that tell us? That tells us that, boy, we better be preparing in our own lives for the Lord Jesus Christ to come again. How do you do that? You simply walk with God, please God, abide in Christ. But while we do that, there's a world out there that needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ tells us in Mark chapter 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So the world got worse. The world keeps getting worse. And yet, as the world gets worse, I look amongst our young people and I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for young people that are growing up in Christian homes. That are growing up in a church where Christians gather together. That are growing up and having an influence of godly fellowship. Sunday school teachers and children's church, Awana Club, and boy, I tell you what, I don't care what the world does this year. We got to get back. We got to get back. Zach, we got to get a one up and running again, man. Amen. Amen, folks. We need to get our vacation Bible school up and running again, Pastor Donnie. We need to get our men's campouts running again and our ladies' tees. Because the little girls need fellowship. The young ladies need fellowship too, and they need the godly influence. But you know what we really need? It's not a slight on women at all. But I tell you what this world needs. It needs godly men. It needs godly men. I've been praying for men at Willimantic Baptist Church, and I tell you what, I've been praying for men to come to Willimantic Baptist Church, and Thursday night, men came to Willimantic Baptist Church. It increased. But then the Lord gave me a test, because what did I preach Wednesday night? Anybody remember what I preached Wednesday night on? The power of love in the gospel. And I tell you what, my love through the gospel was put to the test on Thursday night as God brought in men. Because you know, as we reach out to this world, we're reaching out to a world that has gotten worse, a world that is filled with sin. And the people that we're reaching out to are not all clean cut and living perfect lives. They're people in need of a Savior. Desperately in need of a Savior. And so the world's getting worse. That's not news, is it? But as the world gets worse, may we have a godly fellowship that influences our young people. May we have a godly faith that's so important. And may we have a godly fear that impacts our life, the life of our church, so that we walk with God and reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know where you're at this morning. But in a moment, we're going to pray. And I know we social distance, I tell you what. But listen, there's an altar up here where we can come and get right with God. Oh, that 2021 would be a year that's looked back upon as a year where Lakes Palm Baptist Church really began to worship God and walk with God in faith and godly fear. Let's pray.